Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we go to Teresa Fallon, director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies. She is in Brussels, which is the twin capital of Europe, NATO, and the European Union. Right now, we have a headline, however, suggesting Europe is looking beyond the Ukraine war, beyond the Gaza war, to China. Europe should not shy away from working with China, Wang says. That's Wang Yi, the master wolf warrior. So we welcome Teresa to comment on this and also the question of Europe in general. Teresa, the economies are not quite flatlining. They could be, especially German and UK economies. The energy shortfall begins for the third winter. The war in Ukraine is taking strange twists, even suggesting there'll be negotiations. The war in Gaza's fog of war. All of this adds up to not a growth spurt for Europe, but a hesitation. Does that mean the romance with China is back on or necessary? Good evening to you, Teresa.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, China has tried a term offensive, but I think what really woke up the Europeans was China's support for Putin in the war in Ukraine. So that was definitely a turning point for the Europeans. And they are having a summit coming up December 7th and 8th. Maybe not the most important day. It's a very important day on the U.S. calendar, December 7th, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but that's the day that they're having the China-EU summit. But from what I'm hearing here in Brussels, there will be, it is very unlikely that there will be any deliverables. And they've reached an impasse. Last year with High Representative Joseph Borrell, he described the summit as a dialogue of the deaf. And so this year, it doesn't seem to be any better. They constantly expected Xi Jinping to use his influence on Putin, ignoring the fact now 2 years almost into the war that he's not really going to do anything about that, and that they have a larger geopolitical cooperation, both Russia and China. And I think that this is very difficult for the Europeans to accept.
Gordon, you have a question for Teresa.
Teresa, you mentioned the Ukraine war is a turning point in European attitudes towards China because of its support for Russia. What about China's support for Iran and Hamas? Has that had an effect, or has that just been lost in the noise?
Well, I think that Europe, you know, the mantra used to be there is no hard power solution. But they're in a neighborhood now where they're seeing hard power being used in Ukraine and in the Middle East, and they feel really powerless and weak. And this idea that we're a super soft power doesn't really hold up. So I think that they are also having another crisis. They're trying to muddle through. And the fact that you have 27 EU member states with many, many different approaches to China. For example, we saw Macron's visit and he left, you know, he went there to try to convince Xi Jinping to use his influence, and he left with the bumper sticker saying, I don't want to be a vassal of the United States. So Europe is extremely divided, and China's idea is to weaken the North Atlantic relationship. So if they can drive a wedge between the U.S. and Europe, that's their main goal. And they're looking for any weak links. And that could be France at this point.
Drive a wedge between Europe and the United States. That would be NATO. How are they doing, Teresa?
Well, we saw Turkey. There are some issues with Turkey right now. There's also, you know, France is pretty much a weak link in all of this, I would argue, because they are pushing the narrative of strategic autonomy. The only other country in the world that pushes strategic autonomy as much as France is China. So the fact that China is constantly encouraging them for this, but I would argue that Europe really needs strategic responsibility. U.S. needs a core, strong Europe to help loosen or to share the defense burden. Europe needs to invest. If after almost 2 years of war in Ukraine, they really haven't stepped up and increased their investment in defense issues. So yes, everything's unprecedented, but they need to do a lot more. And things do not look so good in Asia Pacific or the in that region, or the Indo-Pacific, I should say. But I think that Europe is not acting like a very good partner. Other member states have increased their spending, so that's good. But I think that we're seeing, you know, more cleavages happening in these relationships and in these alliances.
Gordon, you have a question.
So we talk about alliances, Teresa. What about NATO? Is NATO more effective now than it was 2 years ago, or less effective?
I would argue that in regards to China, they have really seen the light, and they, you know, that's becoming more and more clear. But it doesn't matter if Europe, for example, sends a ship to the South China Sea. That's nice. It's a nice symbol. But I would say that if Europe, and I know you're focusing on NATO, but I just wanted to add that if Europe kind of tightened their export of dual-use goods or high-level technology, which has helped the PLA leapfrog in improving their technologies, especially in submarines, that would be the best help ever. So I don't think the U.S. is begging them for ships in the region, although that's nice and symbolic, but that they really should improve their export controls on high-level technology. Now, everyone's complaining about their poor economies, and they don't want to really do this. There's little appetite for that, but I think that they need to understand the bigger picture right now.
And China's economy is deeply troubled, deeply troubled. Is that a persuasive fact to Europe, or is it business as usual, just as if China was in the growth spurt?
Well, Europe has, you know, they tend to look at the world through an economic lens, and it's very difficult for them to think geopolitically, even though the European Commission has decided to be a geopolitical one. It takes geopolitical exercises and muscle to look at the world that way. So they expected China to work with them because Europe is a huge market for them. And they're shocked, stumped, cannot understand that China thinks differently and that they think strategically rather than just economically. So the Europeans are really flummoxed by all of this. And that's why there's like a two, you know, they're talking past each other. The Europeans are like, you need to give us more access to your market. And China, you know, you can only sell the same carpet so many times. And the Europeans, you know, keep beating a dead horse. And China, you know, I think everyone's disillusioned with each other. And I think that Beijing's treatment of Europe is actually quite dismissive. When they talk to think tankers, they tend to focus on the U.S. They don't talk about Europe. So they see Europe as something to use for their benefit. And the Europeans traditionally like to think of themselves as a separate power pole. But I don't think that they could really argue that that's how they're behaving these days.
Gordon, we have time for two questions. Go ahead.
So, Teresa, the EU ever have an effective foreign policy with regard to China or anything else? Or is that just a dream when you have so many different members with so many different interests?
Well, I think we should be watching very carefully what comes out of this summit, December 7th and 8th. It's always, when you have 27 EU member states, it's always the lowest common denominator, trying to get everyone to agree. And that's very, very difficult. And even though they share the same continent, have a lot of common history, it's very difficult to get them to speak with one voice on policy. And of course, you know, China can buy off smaller states or give them incentives to block things, as we've seen perhaps in Hungary, for example. So they would like to act as a big player on the international stage, but we've seen that they really haven't been able to do that, especially with Ukraine and with what's happening now in the Middle East.
Wang Yi, the remarks in Reuters, I know they're just pieces of the larger presentation, but when Wang Yi, the wolf warrior, says, we will listen to the voices of European businesses, earnestly solve problems of foreign investors in China. Does anyone believe that, given that foreign investment has fled China these last years because of his boss's policies? Is anybody freshly persuaded that they misunderstood China's brutality?
Well, my interpretation of Beijing's newest charm offensive in Europe, offering special visas, but only to a limited amount of EU countries, including Italy, Germany, France, for example, and they want reciprocity, but they can't do that because the EU has rules and regulations. So these countries individually can't give reciprocity to Chinese business people. So to me, that's a sign of desperation. They're desperate for foreign direct investment. And China is really, you know, lifted a giant rock to drop on its own feet with all these new rules and regulations. So people might be able to get a visa to travel to China, but there's no guarantee that they would be able to leave. It's like checking into the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. So with the new espionage laws and all of these other, you know, it has spooked many European investors. And in the past, they tried to arbitrage the tensions between the US and China to their benefit. But I think that stockholders is becoming more and more clear to them that this is a high risk environment for them.
Teresa Fallon, director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies. She's in Brussels. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.